Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena's Pete and Terry's Tavern. We are hanging out here. Floyd, speaking of Pete and Terry's Tavern, guess who's coming on the show today for the first time this year at 4:30?
Yeah, Terry, the half owner, or whatever he is.
The proprietor of this fine establishment,
whatever he is.
Terry Crisp, Crispy, is coming back on the show, which tells you that it is hockey season because Crispy is coming back on the show today. We have not talked to Crispy in a hot second.
Back in back in the country. Come back from Canada, and he's back here with us. See how he's summered? How he's doing?
The last time that Terry Crisp came on Jared and the GM, Floyd said there was no way he would draft Jeffrey Simmons, and here we are today. Jeffrey Simmons has been on the Titans for 6 months. So Crispy is coming on today, so get excited about that. I want to start on this, and there is a lot to get into. And you heard the midday show guys talking about Bernard Pollard's tweet and about what Delanie Walker said, and we'll get into all of that. But I want to start with this, and I read it in Joe Rexroad's mailbag in The Athletic. Somebody writes in, says, hypothetical, if the Titans finish fourth in the AFC South, let's say 5 to 6 wins, how likely is a complete rebuild inclusive of the coaching staff and or the GM and front office? Joe Rexroad writes this, quote, it's time to warm up the pink slips. First of all, I think most staffs would like to play good defense and have offensive balance. I don't view Vrabel and Arthur Smith as stoogie old souls clinging to 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's actually what got Mike Mularkey fired. He goes, as for the 5-win hypothetical, I wouldn't rule anything out if things collapse to that extent. But I would guess, even in that case, Retro writes, Vrabel and Robinson would be back. It's very early for Vrabel, of course, and the early returns have been mostly positive. Robinson quickly elevated this roster, and the Titans are 28-23 in his tenure, plus 1-1 in the postseason after the 5-27 ugliness of 14-15. But he's charged with elevating the Titans' pass pretty good, and several of his moves right now are not yielding results to justify the investments. Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, and Harold Landry are three players who need to give more than they've given early in the season. The 5-win scenario no doubt indicates several players underperforming, and in that case, I can't imagine Amy Adams Strunk would be very happy with Robinson. But their relationship appears strong, and here's the part that stands out to me. And Robinson has this sentence available if he needs to use it at some point. Quote, I'm not the one who drafted Marcus Mariota. End quote. And so that sentence that Rexroad points out, that would ultimately be the thing that could save the rear end of Robinson and or Vrabel if things go completely south. The I didn't draft Marcus Mariota sentence, I feel like, becomes more valid by the day. And it feels to me as if any problem this football team has is being put on the shoulders of the starting quarterback. He was not bad on Thursday night statistically against Jacksonville. Now, he wasn't good, but he was not, you know, he didn't throw 5 interceptions. He has not thrown an interception this year. And while I think Marcus cost him the Colts game for sure, you can't necessarily point the finger at him for why they lost at Jacksonville. Everybody played a role in why they lost at Jacksonville. But I just feel like we're headed to that point that if things go south this year, everybody, the fans are already doing it, but even the GM and the coach may point at him and say, hey, we didn't draft him. And I just don't think that that's fair to Mariota.
Welcome to the NFL. Here we are. What did I say? When Mike went, I said the coach goes, then the quarterback goes, then the GM goes.
Then the next coach goes, and then the next quarterback goes.
It's the process. And like it or not, mad about it or not, it's his turn. And he's going to take the brunt. I mean, it's just the way it is.
But is it the right thing?
Who cares? It doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the way it is. I mean, that's the way it is everywhere. And so I think, you know, you escape. The quarterback escapes and saves everybody by playing well, which he has not done. Hasn't played poorly, but hasn't played well. He's been very run-of-the-mill. And that's, unfortunately, not good enough to give, you know, $30 million a year to. And so I think it goes on and on. I mean, John and Mike are not in any danger regardless. So I'm not worried about that part of it.
Which is, in all fairness, I think a little laughable that Mike Mularkey got fired after 2 years. And, you know, one of the big charges against him was, you know, he was holding Marcus back, or he wasn't developing the quarterback. And so they needed to go get somebody who was going to develop the quarterback. They got Vrabel. The quarterback is worse under Vrabel than he was Mularkey. And now, and I don't disagree with you, but Vrabel's probably in no trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're, it's, I mean, even in the discussion for them. So I think they're going to be okay. The question about whether or not Marcus stays or whatever they do with Marcus is strictly going to be up to Marcus. You know, it's going to be him, how he plays, what he does. And, you know, the really, really good part about it is he's got plenty of time to light it up and do what everybody wants him to do. The negative of it is he doesn't have a lot of years to do that. He's got a lot of games right now, but not a lot of years.
Well, I think the negative of it is not so much the time he has, which is, you know what, we're 3 games into a 16-game season. He's got 13 games left, basically. That's not the negative of it to me with Marcus. The negative of it is the fact that he's got no offensive line right now. Derrick Henry, and God bless him, you know I love Derrick Henry, but somebody said today, I heard, that if Derrick Henry catches that ball he dropped against Jacksonville, that's a touchdown. That if he catches the ball, there are blockers out in front, and Derrick runs right down the sideline, just like he did against Houston, or I mean against Cleveland, and now it is 14-7 Jacksonville, and the Tennessee Titans are right back in the game. But Derrick Henry dropped the ball. That's not Marcus's fault. We got these receivers. I don't know if they're any good. Maybe it's Marcus's fault that we don't know if they're any good, but Corey Davis disappears all the time. Tajay Sharp disappears all the time. A.J. Brown had 2 catches. Then he disappears. I mean, I hear you that, hey, it's up to Marcus, and if Marcus goes out and throws for 350 a game and 3 touchdowns, then he'll keep his job, and the Titans win. He'll keep his job. But how can he do that when the offensive line cannot block?
This is, again, welcome to the NFL. I mean, for 4 years, we've made excuses for him. For 4 years, it was the receivers. For 4 years, it was the running game. For 4 years, it was somebody else's fault. Coaches, whoever, offense, whatever it may be. Not Marcus. And we said, year 5, guess what? It's Marcus's turn. And is it going to be perfect? Nope. Is it going to be ideal just the way you want it? Nope. Does that make any difference? Nope. It's just like we blamed all those other guys when it probably wasn't their fault. You know, I mean, that's the way the system rolls.
And I just don't like.
And it's, you know, people say, well, it's not fair. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know, you know. But guess what? Life's not fair.
I just don't like that. I feel like, back to Rex Rhodes' point about, even if things go completely sideways and the Titans win 5 or 6 games, that he thinks J-Rob and Mike Vrabel are back. I don't like the fact that it's like they can just say, well, we didn't draft Marcus. Well, when John Robinson took the job after Marcus's first year, he knew what he was getting into. He knew the quarterback he was inheriting when he took this job in 2016. He knew him better than most anybody else because he was part of a group that had the one choice to not draft Marcus.
And in his defense, again, you know, welcome to the NFL. This is a second-year quarterback. Guess what? Whether you like him, love him, hate him, it makes absolutely no difference. You're going to be stuck with him for 3-4 years. I mean, you're going to be stuck with him because he was drafted the number 2 guy, and he's going to come in here, and he's going to have to prove he can't play. And that's what everybody's kind of holding their breath on. You know, is Marcus going to prove he can play or prove he can't play? And it's not, it's, you know, often not fair, but so be it.
So Marcus is the shield for the coaching staff and the front office.
I don't think there'll be one coach ever say anything negative about him. I don't think there'll be one coach ever point a finger at him because they don't need to. I mean, they don't need to. I think everybody understands this year is on Marcus. I mean, everybody. And that Marcus is the guy. Marcus has got to be, you know, it's his turn. It's fifth year. Here we go. Your turn. We blamed all the others for 4 years, fifth year's years.
Even if it's not his fault.
Even if it's not his fault. Won't make a bit of difference. Just like some of those receivers that we traded away may have been really, really good receivers. Some of those people that aren't here any longer may have been really, really good players. Who knows? But it didn't matter because Marcus was here. And Marcus, every time something happened, we blamed other people. Well, the receiver ran the wrong route. Well, the receiver dropped the ball. Well, this did that. I mean, we went on and on and on. And I'm part of that, so I'm not pointing fingers. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else. But I was always, you know what? He's young. It's not his turn. It's, you know, and now it's his turn.
So Floyd says no excuses allowed for Mariota this year.
Nope.
I mean, it's not his fault the left tackle had to be dumb enough to get popped with a 4-game suspension. It's not his fault the GM didn't get him a right guard.
Right.
But I guess it's his fault.
Right.
Well, that just makes me want to pull my hair out. Uh-huh. So let's take your calls. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road says, if things go south this year, Rabel and Robinson can point to, we didn't draft that guy. And I agree. I mean, that is going to be the cover that they'll move on for Marcus, and next year they'll go find another quarterback. Now, where Vrabel's in trouble if that happens is if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're going to be 5 or 6 wins again, and then you're probably out and somebody else is in. But as you said, Floyd, welcome to the NFL.
That's it.
615-737-1025. By the way, this week's edition of the Marcus Mariota approval poll is up at Jared Stillman right now. Do you approve of Marcus Mariota as the Titans quarterback? Week 1, 74% said yes. Week 2, 52% said yes. As of right now, Marcus is currently polling at 32%. So a 42% drop over 2 weeks in the fans' belief in the quarterback. Even though he threw for 300 yards and has not thrown a pick this season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM are live today from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. If you're coming to the game tonight, stop on by. Say, hey, Crispy will be here later today. Coming up next, though, Delanie Walker takes up for Mariota. We'll get to that and discuss, plus your phones, Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Can a guy, you know, specifically Marcus, can he be too critical of himself sometimes? And do you have to work with him on that at all?
Well, I mean, I think everybody has high expectations for what we do as coaches and as players. So I think some of that's good. I think some of that, I mean, we have to have the ability to go on to the next play and play the next play and understand that, you know, it's a long game and that there's going to be other opportunities to make plays. And you know, we have to have short memory, especially during these football games when there are mistakes, and you know, not that we want them or want a whole bunch of them, but to be able to respond to them and come back and have that type of mindset.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier today. You reading anything there? Do you think he's saying, hey, Marcus has got to be able to move on from the next play, or do you think he was generalizing being critical of yourself for everybody?
I don't. I think he was just generalizing. I mean, that's the impression I got. Mm-hmm. You know, is that he's just kind of telling everybody, because that's, you know, that's one of the great lessons about any sport, really. After you have a bad play, you got to forget it and move on.
So one of the things that I have always believed in Mariota, and remember DeMarco Murray and Eric Decker 2 years ago coming out after they left the Titans, and they said, no, we believe in Marcus. He just needs to be more vocal. He just needs to grab guys. He just needs that. And they both said it on different occasions. And we kind of talked about it, and we kind of – and Delanie Walker today said something that he said in a Pepsi Q&A I did with him a couple months ago. He said something today when asked about Mariota that I believe might be the biggest issue Mariota has, and it was while he was defending Mariota. This is what Delanie Walker said today about Mariota.
Very confident in eight. He's been getting it done. You know, it's tough being a quarterback in this league. I want to say you take all the blame no matter what. And that guy, he ain't going to say nothing about anyone. It don't matter if someone dropped the pass on third down or he got sacked multiple times. He's going to just say it was his fault. He got to do better. That's the sad part. My physician say tight end. I don't know. what he should say or what he should do. I think Marcus is a genuine guy, and he's just a genuine guy, man. He's not gonna point the finger.
What do you think of what Delaney said there about how he believes in Marcus and he thinks that Marcus won't ever point the finger and won't tell, you know, all of that? I mean, I think that Delaney still believes in Marcus, but I feel like Marcus is losing the belief from other people, and I wonder if it's because he won't point the finger at anybody else.
Well, I mean, I think he's probably past that now. I mean, I think he's probably to where he is, which is, I mean, one of the strong suits, if I think Delaney was pointing to this, one of his strong suits, and I've heard him interviewed several times, where you know that the receiver was wrong, or you know the offensive line was wrong, or you know somebody else was wrong. And I have never, ever even heard him hint about throwing somebody under a bus. I mean, he has never even in his wildest dreams, you know, approached. And I'm sure there's a bunch of those guys that love that. And so, you know, if that's who you are, and if the team understands that's who you are, then, you know, it's probably too late for you to all of a sudden come out and say, okay, I'm going to start yelling, screaming, throwing helmets. You know, they'll realize that's all phony, and that's the worst thing that can happen to you. You know, I mean, the bottom line is he's just not that kind of guy, not that kind of personality. And that's, I mean, Steve wasn't that way. You know, Steve would do it differently, but Steve had a way of doing it. And I think Marcus is maybe learning his, and maybe his is he knows he's never, ever going to throw anybody under the bus, and so nobody is ever going to throw him under the bus.
I just think that Delaney points out the things that I'm trying to point out at times that are, am I happy with the way the quarterback is playing right now? Hell no, I'm not happy with how he's playing right now. He stunk the last two games. I'm not denying that. But they're dropping balls on third down. They can't protect him. They can't. And I just wish that those things kind of got credence, or people accepted those things. And I just feel like a lot of people are just saying, like, what we came into the season saying, what you're still saying, that is, it's year five. I don't care that there's not a right guard. Go out there and do something about it.
That's right.
Which is a tough spot to be in.
Toughest.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025 live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena today. Jerry is going to kick us off today on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Jerry.
Maybe what you need to do is give Marcus Mariota a Etch-a-Sketch pad and remind him that after the play, shake it and forget about what happened. And as far as everybody else, sometimes you need to be that drill sergeant that gets in your face and not the general sitting behind the desk giving orders, trying to be the nice guy. Sometimes you got to be the leader, not just part of the team.
So to that point, thank you for the call. To that point, I think Floyd said that's not who he is.
And the problem is when you're in your fifth year and everybody's under pressure and everybody knows they're under pressure, you know, for you to all of a sudden turn into that guy, I'm not sure that would be appreciated or seen as genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Because here, you know, in 4 years, I mean, the most excited we ever saw him was on the sideline game in the playoff game versus Kansas City. I mean, in the sideline when he, you know, cussed a time or two and everybody, whoa, did you see that?
He said
you
the F word.
So, I mean, but you can't all of a sudden go into a tirade like some drunken sailor and just cussing up and down and throwing helmets and kicking over trash cans and doing that kind of stuff because they won't appreciate that.
I think he could do it one time. You know what I mean? Like if Mariota just absolutely lost his marbles one time on the team, I think everyone in that room would be like, oh, my God, what just happened? And then the next day he goes right back to being the same Marcus. That would shock them so much because they're not used to seeing that. But if Marcus were trying to do that every day, in order to try to become a guy who, you know, tells someone what to do or something like that, then I feel like that would probably come off as phony.
Well, I mean, there are certain guys. I mean, McNair didn't have to do it, but, you know, could he have done it? Yeah, he probably could have, you know, once or twice. But you know, McNair was a tough guy. I mean, there are some personalities that can pull that off. And as much as I like Marcus, and as much as I like a lot of things about Marcus, I can't call Marcus a tough guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he is not, you know, known for a lot of abuse. So when a guy like that starts doing it, you know, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, go ahead, go away, kid.
Go put your red.
Yeah, let me
red practice jersey back on.
Let me talk to these guys over here. They've been through it.
Jeff is up next. 615-737-1025. What's up, Jeff?
Hey guys, I'm calling in response to the statement about Robinson not being able to say that was his quarterback. That may be true, but we traded the number one overall pick, the Rams, and got a bounty of draft picks. And what did we get out of that? No right, you know, we have no right guard. We got Kevin Dodd, who's not even with us anymore. We got Conklin, who almost got Mariota killed Thursday night. You know, we didn't.
Here's what you got out of that trade, okay? You got Conklin, you got Corey Davis, Derrick Henry, Austin Johnson, and Jonnu Smith. That's what you got out of that trade.
Instead of Jamal Adams and
Jamal Adams sucks. He sucks.
What about the cornerback? He's a box safety out of LSU that was there. You know, I guess what I'm saying is we took a cornerback in the first round because he had, you know, excitability on return plays and offense. We should have taken a cornerback because he's a good cornerback at 17 or 18 or wherever that was. But I mean, that's really where I'm coming from. Mariota could be better. I think he's regressed, if anything. But
so Jeff, I appreciate your call. And to your point, I mean, they need to get more out of the trade from the Rams. Like they need those players in that trade to play better.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, you got 4 out of 5 players, you know, which is not bad. But
who's the
I
one
mean,
you're not counting, Jonnu?
No, the guy that's not here.
Oh, Dodd?
Yeah.
He wasn't part of that. That was your pick.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Is, I mean, the having the quarterback really handcuffs the GM because you can't go out. If you've got a quarterback, especially after the second year that he had, where you're looking at, because at the end of the second year, if there was a year in any time in his career where you would have said he's going to be the guy, it would have been after his second year.
Yep.
Well, you can't go out your third year then, or, you know, that offseason and say, okay, I'm going to draft a quarterback. You know, now you're a dummy. And so you can't do that. So you're handcuffed. And even though you may have loved Goff or you may have hated him, but you can't go out and draft one after you have one that had the second year that he had.
I mean, it's very easy to play armchair, you know, or revisionist history general manager. I mean, if John Robinson had decided on the night of the 2017 draft, he's going to stay at 5 and he's going to take the quarterback out of Texas Tech, we would have ripped him a new one for that. You just had a quarterback throw 26 touchdowns in his second year, and you're going to take the guy out of Texas Tech who no one's ever heard of? You're going to take him at 5 overall? And so then now you got to ship off Mariota, and you get like a late first and a 2019 third, and that's what you traded your franchise quarterback for, to take a quarterback we've never heard of at 5? Oh, that guy's Patrick Mahomes. Well, he's pretty good. But, you know, like none of us knew that then, and they probably didn't know that then, and it just – it's easy to do that. I mean, to me – I just think it's funny when it's like, well, Jared, we could have had Jamal Adams. I'll take the two safeties I have now over Jamal
Adams.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, Jamal Adams could tackle. Now, if they could put Jamal Adams at linebacker, you know, that might fit. But
which is where he'll end up, I think.
But do you know what's great? Jamal Adams will make like 7 Pro Bowls, and I'm not sure he'll ever intercept a pass in the NFL. And people don't understand the difference between your safeties who can pick off passes and cover linebackers and Jamal Adams who can go get late hits on the quarterback and $30,000 fines. More of your phones on Mariota, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. And is he losing supporters? Not just outside, but inside that building. We'll get to that. Coming up next, live from Pete and Terry's Tavern, Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the game.
You know, I think Art's doing a great job of allowing our guys to get open. I just got to complete them. And it's like a jump shooter in basketball. You know, as I see guys kind of catch the ball, I think we get in a rhythm as an entire offense. We'll find ways to sustain drives and score points.
I don't know how that's like a jump shooter in basketball, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either, but I was never a jump shooter in basketball, so I don't know much about that.
Is that like Marcus' way of saying, hey, just hit a couple of threes and we'll get in rhythm and all of a sudden it'll be good to go?
I don't know, I guess.
Let's go back to the phones. Jared and the GM live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. We got loaded phones on Marcus. Let's go to Big Orange, who's up next on Marcus Mariota. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Big Orange.
Hey, Mr. Jared. Buddy, I heard from one of your neighbors this morning. You know who I'm talking about, the other radio boys over there. They had Mr. Mariota on there, and this question was asked from one of the hosts. When you're up to the line, you check off, do you change the play? Mariota was no hesitation at all, no. I run the exact same play that the coach told me to run. Well, what if they stack the box? Basically, no. I run the exact same play. So that right there is telling me that's all I need to hear. Mariota, like Floyd said, this is it. If you can't do it this year, you're gone. If they put eight guys in the box, no wonder he got sacked the other night against Jacksonville. I mean,
So this is where I disagree with you. This is where I got you. Thank you for the call. This is where I disagree. And I didn't hear it, so I don't know. But I mean, you can watch the game. You can see Marcus change protections and check out of stuff, and you can see Mariota change stuff at the line. My thing with this is it's probably Marcus doesn't want to come out and say, I change a play whenever I want. I do whatever I want out there. Because if Marcus were to say, well, yeah, I don't really listen to the coaches, that is, or if he says, yeah, I'll do what I want when I see it, that then can be misconstrued into a whole discussion of how Marcus doesn't like the coaching or the coaching isn't fitting Marcus, or so it's just easier to say, I just do what the coach tells me and move on. That's like Brady on the personnel decision thing. You saw what Brady said about the Antonio Brown thing, right?
No.
Brady said, I guess there's a report that Brady wasn't happy about Antonio Brown being released or something, and they asked Brady about it, and Brady said, I play quarterback. I'm not a personnel guy. I don't come in here and get, I have never once been asked for my opinions on what we should do personnel-wise. That's not my job. You don't think Brady's ever given Belichick input on what they should do personnel-wise?
I don't know.
Yes, you do know.
I don't know.
Yes, you do know. You were there. It happened. Rob is up next on Marcus Mariota. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Rob.
Hey. Yeah, I was listening to you guys, and I'm going to just kind of chime in a little bit. Well, I was listening. I heard an interview this morning with Marcus giving on one of the other radio stations, and kind of tickled me to death, but it was kind of sad in a sense, because one of the guys asked Marcus, they said, well, Marcus, how does it feel getting the crap beat out of you out there on that field? Well, Marcus said, well, you know, my body's condition and everything, it didn't really bother me or hurt. That's what players do. And, you know, I think Marcus don't really want to say it, but Marcus need to get a little fire on him and say, they beat the hell out of me, and I'm tired of losing. You know, I think this team has got to have a quarterback that comes in here, one that really has some fire, that hates losing, that will get on. Don't necessarily have to always get on to the players, but, I mean, just stand their ground, you know. Give them a look, get that look, get that mean face, and tighten this team up, because this
Robert, name one mediocre quarterback in the NFL that does that.
One mediocre quarterback. Okay, let me think here. Right offhand, I can't really say, but I mean, for this team, I understand what you're saying. I'm saying what will fit this team. Marcus could probably go to another team and be real good with a team that's already, you know, playing well. But for a team that's, you know, on a crutch like the Titans have been on for years, that's where I think this team has been lacking. So everybody is seeing the same old, you know, seven or whatever team every year, and it's just boring. So they got to have somebody in here, a different type of quarterback to come back in here, like the Steve McNairs and, you know, Eddie George, those type of people to come back in here. And Delanie Walker, he's just the one person. He's one of the guys, I say, that got that fire. But he's got to have some type of help to come in there, too, because some teams have to have that fire in order to get going. And I don't think all these players are bad on this team getting up.
Hey, Robert,
I'm not saying that.
Robert, do you know who coaches for the Falcons?
No.
Who's the tight end coach of the Falcons is on Sunday when the Titans play them?
No, who?
Your favorite coach, Mike Mularkey, will be back against the Titans
goodness.
This week.
I can't believe they got that freak out there. I thought that freak would have been fired. Oh, my God.
So if the Titans lose on Sunday, they will lose to Mike Mularkey, and I will personally blame you for wanting to fire him every day of his tenure as coach. Thank you for the call, Robert. What do you think about Robert's take that the Titans need the quarterback to be more fired up?
It is what it is. And the hard part, this is like coaches. Quarterbacks are like coaches. First of all, they want the disciplinarian. Then they want the player's coach. Then they want the disciplinarian. It's the same thing with the coach. You get a quiet guy like this, then the next, we want a Baker Mayfield. Then you get a Baker Mayfield that comes here and maybe things don't go well. And he jumps out in the press and says something that embarrasses the entire franchise and the entire city. And everybody's going, that guy needs to shut up. How can we get him to shut up? I mean, it just goes back and forth and back and forth. And the truth is, whatever you don't have is what you want. And I think that's human nature.
Let's go to AG, who's up next. Now, I'm sure he's not going to be very happy with me. Go ahead, AG.
Yeah, man, if we're going to be fair, man, like the excuses that we make for Marcus Mariota, we can also make for John Robinson, because who didn't like Kevin Dodd and some of these other players that he drafted coming out of college? And if we think about it, who brought in the secondary? Who brought in Jayon Bryan and Rashawn Evans? Who brought in Derrick Henry? And it's a big question mark at Corey Davis, because I done seen this man make acrobatic catches, and I done seen this man, I'm not an expert on route running, but I done seen this man run some routes that look real good to me. So if we're going to be fair, let's be fair across the board. If we're going to make excuses, we can make the excuse for anybody on the team. And like the GM said, it's just Mariota's turn. No more excuses. Sorry, this is what it is.
AG, I can't believe that may be the best call you've ever had. Thank you for the call. And that's the frustrating part about everything with this team. And that is that I can make an argument on either side of the table for anybody. I can make an argument for John Robinson. I can make an argument against John Robinson. I can make an argument for Marcus. I can make an argument against Marcus. You can make an argument for Mike Mularkey. And a lot of people made arguments against Mike Mularkey. But, the Titans were terrible. And he goes nine wins into the divisional round of the playoffs. You were in the Elite Eight of the NFL under Mike Mularkey. You can make an argument on either side of it for everybody involved here. And that's because the results have been so mixed over the last 3 years, in my opinion. And that's the hard part in all of this.
Well, I think what he says is right. I mean, have we hit on every single draft choice as J-Rob hit on? No. Has he hit on every single free agent? No. But you're not going to. And I think I was thinking about this morning. Think about the quality of this team when we came in. And you start going through, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, name the secondary when we came in. Name the secondary now.
Parrish Cox, Jason McCourty, Denoris Searcy, and I'm trying to think of who that is. The Saints is terrible.
Awful. Just awful. And you look at it now. You know, you talk about the linebackers. You talk about, and I think you can go through the team and look at it and say, okay, you know, this has been gigantic. I mean, in my opinion, the absolute best personnel move he ever made for helping this franchise along was bringing in DeMarco. DeMarco Murray gave this franchise a little bit of an identity when we had nothing. We had no idea who we are, no idea what we were going to do. I mean, it was all talk. You know, well, I think we'll do that, and then we'll try that. And then we get him and realize that, hey, we can run the ball, realize that, you know, this offensive line can run block. Well, then all of a sudden the offensive line is top-notch, the tight end's top-notch, the quarterback's top-notch, running back is leading the AFC. I mean, we're a team on the roll. And then, boom, you know, DeMarco gets hurt and gets old and whatever else happened, and we haven't replaced that. You know, we haven't replaced that quality they gave us.
As much as you don't like Nate Davis, I feel like that's how much you miss DeMarco Murray. Chris Sanders, former Titan receiver, going to join us next. His thoughts on all the anti-Marcus takes, and then, of course, we're back to your phones on Mariota. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The poll results, Floyd, are not treating Marcus Mariota too well today. They simply are 33%. So he's made his climb up from earlier today when the poll at Jared Stillman, the Marcus Mariota approval poll, it's making a climb from earlier today when I was worried he wasn't going to get out of the 20s. But Mariota, 33% yes, 55% no, 12% no opinion. With that, we bring in former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, do you find, why or why not, do you find the criticism of Mariota from the fans fair or foul?
I think it's 50-50. I mean, it's a little bit Marcus, but it starts with the offensive line. I know we've been saying it all week. I know we've been saying it for the last three games. But it starts there. I mean, he's got to have protection. Yeah, he's got to make the throws. Yes, he has to make the reads. But when you have somebody, a defensive end and a linebacker in your mustache, I mean, how are you going to make the read? You know, I was in the gym the other day, and I was talking to Les Steckel because I wanted to get his opinion. He was my wide receiver coach, and he coached quarterbacks. And he said this, and this really blew me away. He said, as a quarterback, he said, if you could see what I see, then you can feel how I feel. A lot of times on the outside, we can see, oh, he needs to throw to that guy. But he's feeling pressure from blitzes. He's feeling pressure from a defensive end. He's feeling pressure from so many different ways. So he's real tentative of making the throw. So it starts with the offensive line, and it starts with Marcus making the throw.
What is your biggest concern about the offense right now when you watch him play?
Man, it's the offensive line. And I know we've been talking about it a whole bunch, but, you know, I know you make mistakes. I know offensive lines have done some wrong things, but they're not even playing physical. I mean, that's what concerns me. If you're offensive line, you're supposed to be straight up dog nasty when you're in the trenches. I mean, we had Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins, and guys like that. Those dudes were fighting. And I just think the Tennessee Titans need to just start fighting. I'm not talking about with fists. I'm talking about start dominating and controlling the line of scrimmage. That's what's more concerning as opposed to the mistakes.
When you look at Atlanta's receiving group,
oh my God,
you know, the three guys, it may be as good as any receiving group in the league, but it's led by Julio Jones.
Oof.
When you see him, how do you categorize him? Get, you know, describe him for me.
A mean guy. That's what it is. And when I say a mean guy, he catches the ball, man. He runs with an attitude. He runs the routes with authority. And, you know, when he first got in the league, he was one of those guys just kind of known as a speed guy, can jump and catch the ball. But, man, watching him run route, he runs with so much authority. He's one of those guys on the field that you can feel when he catches the ball. When he catches a screen pass or a little slam pass, he has the mentality that, hey, I'm taking it the whole distance. And that's what makes him so scary. You know, a lot of times we look at big receivers and we think they can't get out the cut or think that they're just a straight line guy. This dude has the explosiveness to get out of his cuts and make the play, and that's what makes him so scary, Floyd. Great question.
The given those three receivers and Matt Ryan, who is a league MVP, how is it, and as good as they've been, and I'm not taking anything away from them, I've always felt like they should be better.
Yeah.
What is there something holding them back?
I don't think it's something holding them back. I just think that sometimes teams can figure you out a little bit. I mean, I know you have Julio Jones, you have Sanu, and you have Ridley. Those guys are explosive guys. So what a lot of times defenses are doing, it's not that the Atlanta Falcons are doing something bad. The defense is giving these guys a lot of cushion and not giving up the big play, because we're used to watching Atlanta, and all you see on TV last year is Julio Jones a bomb or Ridley catching a bomb or Sanu catching a bomb. Now they're just defenses are keeping them in front and making them earn those those 10 and 12 play drives. And if you can do that and have them make mistakes, I think you have a chance to beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Chris Sanders with us. How much of your thoughts on the Titans right now going into Sunday are about the Titans, and how much are they about the Falcons? Because I feel like the Titans have a handful of stuff they got to figure out before we can even worry about it. Now.
I mean, it's about the Titans. And earlier today, I was just kind of listening to Walker's his interview, and he said some profound that's really, really clutch. He said, if we just have 11 guys doing their job, we can play. I mean, look at the talent that they have. Look at the offensive line that they had a couple of years ago that was dominating. Look at the receivers they have, A.J. Brown. You have Humphreys. You have guys that can make plays. But if 11 guys do their job, they have a chance to do it. But it's like this. If you have 10 guys running the play right and you have a receiver busting the wrong route, then it messes up everything. So if everybody gets on the same page, makes plays, and do their job, then I think they can do what they need to do.
If when Taylor comes back, which will be next week, how much in your mind – I mean, it's not going to be the answer to all the problems in the offensive line. But how much better does the offensive line get with him back?
You know what, Floyd, that's a great question. It'll get better. But still, if you have two or three guys not doing their job, it's not going to make a difference. If you have Saffold and Lawan on the same side, but then you have the other guard and the other tackle making mistakes and getting beat, it ain't gonna make a difference. You gotta have everybody rolling the right way. And if everybody can roll the right way and be physical and do what they're capable of doing, it's just like if you add Lawan back, it's just like adding fuel to the fire. You can be dominant, but you can't be dominant if you have three guys doing right and two guys doing wrong. Everybody has to be on the same page.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is our guest. Chris, I need your help with something.
Uh-oh, you backfield already?
Did you ever return punts, not just in the NFL, but in college?
I did in college, but I would pray that they took me off that thing.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I believe some people are just meant to return punts and some people aren't.
Right.
And no offense, but I feel like you probably were meant to not return punts.
There you go.
Chris Sanders, I think Derek Mason was meant to return punts.
Right.
I am convinced Adoree Jackson is not made to return punts. He just isn't. And Floyd will not let go the fact that, well, he was good in college. I don't care about that. He can't return punts, and it cost him the game on Thursday. Please help me out with this.
It's not that he can't return punts. It's just that he's got to be a smart football player. And I'm saying this respectfully. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying being a smart football player. If the ball is rolling to you, and you got 75 guys wanting to tackle you, and you're 3 yards away, get away from the ball. That's all you got to do. If you look in college, he was spectacular. What's the difference between college and the pros? The gray area is making mistakes. The guy can make plays. I don't want to give up on him already because he has the capability. It's just the decision-making. If you make the wrong decision when you should be calling fair catch when somebody's right there and you want to be a tough guy and catch it and get hit and fumble, that's not athletic ability. That's just being a smart football player.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. Chris, we will see you Sunday for the pregame show as the Titans try to get back on track.
Let's go, baby. I'll see y'all later. Thanks, Floyd.
Thanks, Chris.
We see you, Chris. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. So he says it's kind of mental with Adoree and not physical, which I agree, but his reason to take Adoree off the punt team and never put him back on.
You heard him talking about returning punts. Prayed they'd take him off.
And I
prayed
think, and
they would
I
take
am
him
praying
off.
That they take Adoree off.
So hard.
And again, I am praying that they take Adoree Jackson off because he is bad at it. That's all I got there.
They're not taking him off. I can tell you that.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Is Marcus Mariota a backup quarterback masquerading himself as a starting quarterback? You'd be stunned to find out how many of ESPN's experts think that's the case. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern where the Preds play today. Crispy going to join us later. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.